Like I got a few people that's not ashamed to proclaim. You know, when you proclaim something, you say it loud, you say it in front of everybody, and you don't mind who knows. I remember being a young girl and my grandmother told us, and she was talking about when you was falling in love, when you get your husband, and she said, never let him know everything. Always hold something back. Just in case it don't work. Just in case. That means you would have never have given him your whole heart, your whole head. Always hold something in reserve. But I remember Tasha falling in love for real. I fell in love with him for real. Y'all, when I found my husband, I was in love for real. And I knew what we were taught, always hold something in reserve. And so I called my sister. And I said, sister, I'm going to tell him. I'm going to tell him that I'm in love with him and that I don't want him to leave. And she said, girl, you better not. I said, I have to. Because I would have rather have love with everything that I have than to miss the opportunity and try to hold something just in case. Just in case means that I'm holding out a little bit of doubt. Just in case means I'm not all the way in. And so, Pastor Darian, as I started to grow in Jesus, I used to sit in my seat too and look around like, I wonder if they're looking at me. I wonder if anybody can tell I'm falling in love for real. Oh, I don't know who I need to ask for permission because I didn't call my sister. But it was just on one afternoon and I was at church and it got real good to me and I was like, I don't care. I don't care who's looking at me. And so I stood up and I started to sing. Y'all, I was new, so I'm like, I don't want these people looking at me. But I stood up and I started to sing out loud. Yeah. And I was crying and I was singing and I was caught up in praise. And I did not care who was around me. And on that Sunday, that same sister was with me in church. And they had moved on from praise and worship. And the pastor was up preaching and I was still standing up crying. And I finally sat down and she said, I hope you know you was the only person still standing up. Everybody else has sat down. And I came to a point, Tiffany, that I didn't care. Yes. I don't care if they see me standing up. As a matter of fact, I want them to see me standing up. Yes. But more than I wanted them to see me standing up, I wanted him to see me standing up. Because Jesus, I am not afraid to say that I love you. Hallelujah. I'm not embarrassed. I'm not sad. I'm not wondering what they might think. Why? Because I know him. I know him. Y'all, and I was falling hard for him. I was falling hard and there was nothing that anybody can do. And you know what? That was almost, I fell in love late. It was almost about 16 years ago, 17 years ago. And can I tell you, I'm still in love. I get my flag over here and I'm like, y'all, give me my flag because I want to praise him with my flag. I'm going to stand up and I'm going to holler. And so I'm like Pastor Darian on this afternoon. I'm going to ask God for a favor.
Yes, Lord. Yes,
I pray, Lord, for all of you in this room.
Yes.
That you get to a place.
Hallelujah.
That you can stand up in front of everybody and say, I love you, Jesus.
Yes.
In the same way you act at a concert, I see you. Yes. The same way you act at a concert,
The same way you act at a football game. The same way you act when your kids do something good. You the loudest mama out there, the loudest God out there. But when God has done something, you go, thank you, Jesus. Woo. Not me, I'm loud. And I got loud. I wasn't always loud. But when it comes to Jesus, Oscar, I don't mind, Corliss. I don't mind letting you know that I am not embarrassed and to say, I love you, Jesus. I love you more than anything. Yeah.
I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you.
One of these times I get to tell my whole story when we got time. But I told my group, we was in community group. Y'all need to get in community group. I was telling them that one time I just had a glimpse all the way back. I told you all it was kind of late when I found Jesus. I was in my late 30s. But one morning he took me all the way back and he showed me a 5-year-old girl. And then the 16-year-old. And then the 21. I won't tell you what all she was doing at all of that time, but he was like, remember that? Remember when you was right there, 21?
Right.
Remember that?
Remember that.
He said, I want you to know that I was right there.
Thank you, Jesus.
The whole time.
Thank you, God.
You didn't know to thank me. You didn't know to call my name. You ain't nothing about praise and worship. You didn't even know about it. He said, but I knew you.
Yes.
And so when it comes time, you all, for me to praise him, to thank him,
yes.
I try to give him everything I got.
That's right.
I don't care if it look cute, if it don't look cute, be up here crazy, sweating, looking crazy.
Yes, Pastor.
I said, but God loves my worship.
He loves it. He loves it.
He loves my worship. Thank you, praise team. I want us to get to a place where we ain't holding back on God. Why? Because he does not hold back on us. And so good afternoon, you all. I am Pastor Sharonda Manor Foster. Thank you for being here on this afternoon. Thank you for the worshipers. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I heard God say when we were in our pre-service prayer, and that's the prayer that we have to get ready for service. I heard him say, as long as the believers are there. Sometimes we get concerned about things and who's in, who's out, and who's absent today. But he said, as long as the believers are there. Any believers here? Oh, we in the house. Any believers, as long as the believers are here, then that's all he needs. And he reaches us in our expectation, yeah? Yeah, let's stand all over the place. Let's stand all over the place as I go into the word, because I do believe that I have a word for you on this afternoon. I want you to be prepared for what God has for you specifically. I don't want you to look around and say, I wonder if that's for him or that's for my spouse. No, this is for you. And so I'll pray and then I'll read my scripture that we have for this afternoon. And so, Father God, in the name of Jesus, oh God, I thank you. I just saw somebody in the back. This is for you. Raise your hand. Right there. Yep. This is for you on today. Whoever God identifies, I'm going to say it because I feel like it's just going to be that kind of word on today. So you're in the right place at the right time. You chose the right day. Let us pray. Father God, we just say thank you. Thank you, oh God, for this place, for the opportunity for us to be here on together. The believers have gathered in this place, God. We are believing you, oh God. And so would you deliver your word? Holy Spirit, would you pour out of your anointing? Would you anoint me for this? Would you anoint your people to receive? We push back on anything that would come against us in the name of Jesus. Let your power flow in this place. Touch hearts in this place. Heal in this place. In the name of Jesus, fight for your people in this place, God. And so we just say thank you for that which you are doing even right now. Lord of hosts, do what you will on our behalf in this place on today. Oh God, uplift the weary, heal the sick, calm the worried. In the name of Jesus, let the seeker know that they have found their place, that this is where you have led them to. And so we just said thank you right now, God. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. And thank you, God. We're going to read our scripture. It is coming from Matthew 11, 28 through 30. And we can read that together. It's in the New International Version. And it says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. As you go to your seat, tell your neighbor, you need some rest. And then tell them, it's not what you think. It's not what you think. Today's prescription is rest. You need to get some rest. But it's not what you think. The National Sleep Foundation statistics say over 8 million people struggle to fall asleep and stay asleep every night. Poor or insufficient sleep has affected their job performance, led to depression, and an overall dissatisfaction with the quality of life and their productivity. When we think of rest, most of us think of rest as going to lay down somewhere, or putting your feet up, or sitting still and doing nothing. Now, those can be a form of rest, but all sleep is not rest, and all rest is not sleep. Y'all got that? All sleep is not rest, and all rest is not sleep, because you can fall asleep and wake up and still not be rested. And you can find rest in other forms and not only sleep. We're gonna talk about it. Tell somebody it's not what you think. As you heard last week, there is a group of us that have been working through a book for the past few months. It is authored by Dr. Sandra Dalton Smith, and it is entitled Sacred Rest. Not only is the doctor an internal medicine doctor, she is also a fellow believer. God said, as long as the believers are in the house. She is also a fellow believer in Jesus Christ. Today, as we go through this, you will hear some references from her book as the Holy Spirit has downloaded what he would have you to know and understand about sacred rest. We are in the month of Jesus Gives, and I want you to know that Jesus gives sacred rest. The word rest, it appears in the Bible over 200 times. The first time we see it is in the second chapter of Genesis. And it says, by the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he had rested from all the work of creating that he had done. Later in the Bible, God gives Moses the Ten Commandments. And the fourth commandment is keep the Sabbath day holy, or keep the rest day holy. Now, there's been much debate about the Sabbath day. Is it on Sunday? Is it on Saturday? Do we still have to do it? I'm not here to enter the debate. What I want you to get and understand is that God considered rest holy and sacred. He put it in the 10 rules, commands that he wanted them to follow, that you should rest. Enter into a holy, sacred rest. Sacred. What is sacred? Sacred is dedicated or set apart for the service or worship of God. Sacred. Sacred means it's considered holy and deserving of respect. Sacred. Rest. Rest. To be placed or supported so as to stay in a specific position. Rest. It's an instance or period of relaxing or ceasing to engage in strenuous or stressful activity. Sacred rest. It's devoted to God and for you to remain in a specified position. Later in the New Testament, we see Jesus tell his disciples, after a long day of work, to come aside so they can rest. In Matthew, our scripture for today, Jesus invites every believer into sacred rest. Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. He says, take his yoke upon me, for his yoke is easy. His yoke is easy. We have an idea of what rest is. Our idea of rest is to sit down somewhere, to go to sleep somewhere, to be still somewhere. But then here is Jesus is saying, take his yoke upon him, his yoke upon us, for his yoke is easy. A yoke is meant for work. So what do you mean, Jesus, take it up? We thought we was going to be able to lay down somewhere, go to sleep somewhere, put our feet up somewhere, but you're telling us to put on a yoke. A yoke is used for work. It's not what you think. A yoke is an instrument that was used in work. Let me see that yoke. A yoke would tie two animals together as they plowed the field. I want you all to see what a yoke is. It's that next. That's a yoke. And so Jesus is saying, he's using this so you can get the picture. That he says, take my yoke upon you. You see, there's two spaces in there. There were two animals that would work together, pull the load together. There they are working together. They tied together by the neck. Rest is not what you think. And he's saying that you've been tied around your neck, yoked with something else. But he says, yoke with me. Because my yoke is easy. It's not going to be hard on you. And my burden is light. Whatever it is that we have to pull, because they were pulling something, these animals. Whatever it is that you have to pull, he said, if you yoke with me, we're going to pull it together. We're going to come at this together. But this is a work instrument. It held them together. So whatever turn one made, the other one had to turn that way too. Or if the other one was going off the path, the other one could pull it back the right way. What are you yoked together with? They had to walk together and work together. And some of you have yoked with something else that you have no rest because it's pulling you to the side and you have no strength to pull back. That way you're being pulled off. You're being pulled off course by that. But if you yoke with Jesus, he says his is easy. His is light. Jesus was not inviting us to rest in the manner we usually think of. He may have included sitting down and laying down and going to sleep, but his invitation is to rest while you work, to rest in the work. But how do you do that, Jesus? Because we just so used to ceasing, stopping work. That's the only way we know how to rest in the work. But rest is not what you think. A majority of the people do not rest because they don't have time to rest. Because it's not what they think. They think you have to stop. If I say you need to rest, then you think I'm telling you, go sit down somewhere, don't go to work that day, don't clean up the house, don't talk to anybody. That's not what this is. But we think that, and so we say, I don't have time to rest. I don't have time to stop. We say, if I don't do it, it won't get done. I'm the only one that can get this work done. And then we say, I'm too busy to rest. Who has time to rest? I got to get this done and get that done. I don't have time to sit down somewhere. I heard somebody said, rest is for dead men. I'll rest when I'm dead. We siphon caffeine through coffee, energy drinks, and vitamins to keep us revved up because we don't have time for rest. We don't have time to stop. And then because we got so revved up off of the caffeine and the coffee and the pills and the soda, and then we got to take something to help us sleep because we got so wound up during the day, but now I can't sleep. So now I need a sleep aid because I don't have time to rest. We take these agents. Somewhere in our minds, we have a can't stop, won't stop, don't stop. Can't stop, won't stop, don't stop. I don't know where it came from. Maybe your parents told you was being too lazy, so you can't stop, won't stop. Don't stop. Maybe your worth lies in your work. And so I got a can't stop. Won't stop. Don't stop. Who will I be if I can't do this? Can't stop. Won't stop. Don't stop. Who has time to rest? My pride and my ego is in this. We boast in our can't stop. Won't stop. Don't stop. Y'all see how hard I went in the paint? Y'all seen me up all night? Y'all see me only get 3 hours of sleep? And look at me. I'm still good. Can't stop. Won't stop. Don't stop. Who has time for rest? Even when God considered it sacred. Even when Jesus invited you in. There's something in me that says I can't stop. Who will I be if I stop? Who will they think I am if I stop? Where will I go if I stop? But Jesus has invited you into a sacred rest. We ignore God's holy command and we dismiss Jesus' invitation. Therefore, we miss the journey. Aiming at the destination. When I get there, I'm aiming at the end. I want to accomplish it. I want to get it. I can't wait till I have this much money. I can't wait till that project is complete. I can't wait till I have that man. And therefore, that's all I see. I see the end. But all along the way, look what God is left all along the way. Look at all the beautiful things. Look at all the beautiful people. But my sight is here. I'm going to miss it. I'm going to miss the journey. Because I can't stop. And I won't stop. And I don't have time to rest. What would I boast in if I rested? What would make me great if I rested? I ain't got time to smell the flowers. There's no enjoyment in this for me. When I get there, I'll be good. And you know what's going to happen when you get there? You're going to be either so broke down that you cannot enjoy it. Your mind is going to be so depleted. Or the people that you were supposed to be with are going to be gone. Because the only thing that you were focused on was the destination. And you kept saying, I don't have time to rest. I can't stop. I won't stop. I don't stop. And so you get the prize. But that's all you have. Joy fleeting from your life. Happiness gone. The people you were supposed to love missing. Because you wouldn't take a moment to stop. You wouldn't spend quality time because you don't have time for rest. How can we accept Jesus' invitation into sacred rest when we don't get it? Because it's not what we think. She says this. This is what rest does. It causes you to be still and seek to know God. It calls for you to look deeper at yourself and your surroundings. Rest forces you to stop. See, we're working in our own might, in our own power, and what we gotta get done. And we didn't stop to see if we were still yoked with Jesus. We yoked with the project. We yoked with the money and the job. We yoked with the business. But we're not yoked with him. I want us to take a look at a passive rest and active rest. Passive is the kind of rest that just happens when you sleep a nap. Passive. You don't know how the body is doing it, but it is restoring and healing itself as you sleep. You can't make it do nothing. You don't know what's happening in your brain. You can't say, okay, brain, now restore. Okay, body, now restore. It just happens. It's the way he who is inviting you into this rest has made you. He knows what rest will do. But for somehow, we keep eluding it. But that's passive rest. Sleep is not an option when you go to sleep. The restoration of your body, it is a necessity. After a while, either you lay your body down or it will lay you down. It knows what it needs even when we try to ignore it. Some of you, your body's begging. Please, please give me some rest. Please, please stop. It's just like a little baby. I don't know if you all have been around a little baby. They try to fight sleep off as bad as they can. They run crazy. They scream and they doing everything. But after a while, you find them in a corner knocked out. Because their body said no more. But for us, it don't look cute like a little baby in a corner. When your body says, oh, you're not going to lay down, I'm going to lay you down. It looks like a hospital room. It looks like a mental breakdown. Looks like somebody having to come and rescue you. It looks like anxiety attacks. It's not cute like a little baby in a corner. You'll be in a corner, but they're going to be calling the ambulance for you. We have to, y'all. It's that serious. For us to enter into this rest. And we have talked about this for months. And so many of us said, I cannot stop. Who's going to do it? Who's going to take care of my house? Who's going to take care of my kids? And that's because we have an idea of rest that we have to stop and completely do nothing. That's not what he said, because Jesus said that there's some work. He's yoking you in the work too. He didn't say just go lay down. Today, I want to come into agreement with Jesus in four areas as he invites us into active rest. Now, that passive rest, you just need to lay down to get it. There's nothing that you can do other than prepare to lay down, to sit down. But I want to talk about active rest on today because it's not what you think. And so I want to talk about four areas on today that we need to enter into sacred rest. The first one is physical rest. It's not what you think. It's not, oh, I'm just going to sit down and do nothing. That's not the physical rest that we're taught. Active physical rest. How can I rest and get it done? How can I rest and complete the project? How can I do that? Our bodies cry out. Our feet hurt. Our heads hurt. Our back hurt. Random pain haunts us and fatigue grips us, and we still don't do anything about it. But somehow our worth got tied into how much we can do. We work as if it's owned by our own might. We forget Jesus. We forget he offered us rest. Physical rest is not only laying down or ceasing from movement. It is listening to your body and responding sooner than later. Your body has been crying out and you keep telling it to shut up. You keep ignoring what it's saying to you. You think laying down one day is enough to fight back years of abuse of your physical body. You think one vacation week a year is enough to take care of your beat up physical body. The author likens it to this. She says that we have seen those starving children on the commercials. And they've been starving for I don't know how long, so much starving so that their bellies are bloated. We all have seen these children. And she said, it's your physical man is just like us doing this for that kid that has been hungry for months to give him one bowl of rice and say, now you good. And move on. And he's been starving. One bowl of rice. We give our physical man one bowl of rice after we done beat it down. And we think it should be good. Now, most of us, maybe you only get a week's vacation on your job. So you can't take off more than that. So you have to learn how to work and rest in the work. You have to learn how to enter into Jesus' sacred rest because he said, yoke with me. He didn't say, come lay down. That's in another place. That's that passive rest. But right here, he's offering you to yoke with him. It's going to take more than one bowl of rice. It's going to take more than one day. You all, it's going to be moment by moment, and you have to seize the moments to take care of your physical man. Stop saying I didn't have a headache for 3 days. Stop saying my shoulders is still tight. Stop saying I can't get this ache out of my back. Stop saying I don't know what this lump is in my side. It is your body screaming that I need you to pay some attention to me. We have to learn a physical rest as we work. 3 John 2:2 says, dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health. And that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along. He's reminding us that I'm not only want you to be a holy and filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues, but this physical man, I want it to be well also. I want you to be able to take care of it also. So what does it look like to yoke with Jesus and take care of this physical man? Stretch your body that is stretching you out. Oh, wait a minute. I don't do no stretching now, Pastor Sharonda. Wait a minute. I thought I just need to lift my hands. Praise the Lord. The physical body needs you to do more. It needs you to stretch it. You have areas in your body where the stress is sitting. And a little stretching will help it. I love this book because she's also a medical doctor. And she says, if you move that body enough, then you'll get blood flow, oxygen flow. And because God knows how he designed this body, that as you're doing that, the blood flow and the oxygen will go to the areas that is needed. It's going to help you for you to stop saying, oh, I don't do that. I think she said somewhere else that some people are allergic to exercise. We can't be. The other thing that you can do is breathe. Breathe. Take a deep breath in. I know y'all like, oh, come on, that's going to help me. Yes. Breathe and rest in him. Open up your lungs. Supply your body with some oxygen. Sit still and breathe. And so that he can show you what his rest can do. And don't be sitting there on the computer like, No. Take a breath. Stop and breathe and be intentional that I am taking care of my physical man. Take a bath. Take a bath. I'm one of those people, y'all. I ain't got time for no bath. Get in the shower and get out of there. You got to wait for the tub to fill up. And now you got, get in the shower and get out of there. My husband is a bath person. He takes all of his devices. He's chilling in there. And I'm like, I'm done. But if I'm going to enter into a rest, then the time is sacred and it's dedicated. Not just for you to be up in there thinking you're saying, Cal, go and take me away. But it's dedicated. I am going to intentionally take care of this physical man that I have beat up month over month and all day. I'm going to sit. And then the other thing is a prayer walk. Wait a minute. You want me to do more work and it's supposed to be rest? It's helping your body. Walking 30 minutes a day. And it ain't, you got to be out there power walking. But do you know that it will help you sleep at night? Do you know that that walking is healing your body? Do you know that fresh oxygen in your lungs is healing it? Well, we don't do that. But a prayer walk, and let me just say, prayer walks. If you would like to know how to enter into a prayer walk, then we can assist you. Did you know that your ministry has prayer walks? That we are praying around our 1 mile mission. If you need to be on one of those teams, you can see myself, Victoria, or Tiffany, and we can help you take care of your physical man. Back to our program. Prayer walks. The other thing that you can do to help take care of your physical man is tag somebody else in. Oh, boy. Now, here's pride in the way, and they can't do it like I do it. And that's the ouch right there. They not going to know what to do, and what if it's not on time? You got to tag somebody else in to get it done, because guess what? You with your tired self are not being all that successful anyway. You with your tired self is not at your optimum. You with your tired self, that ain't all that great. It could have been better. Even somebody that's less talented, but they well-rested, they can get it done. You think you operating real good, but you tired and you missing it and you're slacking and you're lacking. Tag somebody else in and go sit down and get some rest. I know you're afraid they're going to take your place, but they won't. Tag somebody else in. Let somebody else come off of the bench. You're operating in an inadequate manner because you're not well rested. And so physical rest. Rest in the work. Take care of your physical man. The other one is mental rest. It's not what you think. Mental rest, again, is a sense of active rest. So it's not just go lay down somewhere. Some of y'all need to go lay down somewhere. It's like what God told Elijah. Just go to sleep. Eat. Go to sleep. Eat some more. Go back to sleep. Because that's the type of restoration that he needed. But that's not what we're talking about. So y'all that's trying to stay up, just get some sleep. It might do you some good in your family, your husband, your kids. They're going to love you a whole lot better if you just go to bed. But it is an active rest. And it's not just ceasing to move. Mental rest is removing the thoughts that are not productive. It's decluttering your mind. I quoted this before. We have no mental rest because our thoughts about the future are contaminated with anxiety. Our thoughts about the past are tainted with regret. Our thoughts about the present are spoiled with discontentment. For some, your brain is just exhausted. It's just tired of your nonstop drilling of thinking, of overdoing it, of discontentment, of regret, of anxiety. It's a constant banging in your brain. You fall asleep thinking about it. You wake up thinking about it. You're giving yourself no mental rest because you won't declutter your brain. You think you thinking about it is going to do something. You think you worrying about it is going to do something. You think you turning it over and over and over in your head, remembering what didn't happen. It's not going to do. It cannot change what didn't happen. But we don't give ourselves no mental break. It's a constant. So the first thing that you have to do is you have to declutter your mind. You need to talk to somebody. You need to pray. You need a therapist. Do all that you need to do, but you have to draw those thoughts out of your mind. When you do that, when you just refuse to do that, mental fatigue kicks in. Mental fatigue can cause brain fog, lack of concentration, poor memory recall, lack of focus, and increased mistakes. Some of you are wondering, what is wrong? Why am I missing that? Why did I forget that? Why is that not coming to mind? That's because you're under mental fatigue and you need some mental rest. You have to rest. You're keeping things in your mind that should be released from your mind. And I'll tell you this story that the author tells in the book. She said there were two men that were walking, and they were of the religious belief that you could not touch a woman until you were at a certain age. And so these two men are walking along, and they need to cross over this brook, but there's a lady standing there afraid to cross. And so she's screaming, "Can you guys help me get across?" Well, they look like, well, we're not even supposed to touch a woman until we're a certain age. But she's standing there like, "I really need some help. Can one of you help me get across here?" And so one of them picks her up and carries her across the brook. She goes her way. The two men go her way. Hours later, the other one says, "I can't believe you did that. You know that we are not supposed to touch a woman. You picked her up and you carried her across that brook." And he says to him, he said, "I carried her and it took 2 minutes. He said, "You've been carrying her for 3 hours now. You're still carrying her. I picked her up and put her down. And you're still carrying her." For us, we're still carrying some stuff that we should have been put down a long time ago. And we have not cleared up the room. The first gentleman already cleared that out of his mind, but the second one is still carrying the issue. What issue do you need to put down that is clogging your mind? You're holding on to it, and you need to put that down. So declutter your mind. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing and perfect will." You all, we have to take care of our brain health, our mental health. It causes issues. It causes trouble. It causes depression. It causes greater mental illness. All of that, some of that could have been avoided if you would have took care of your mental health. Pray throughout the day. Enter into a rest with him for your mental health. and allow him to speak to you as you speak to him. So your mental health, pray throughout the day. And then give yourself a brain break. My husband always operates in this Pomodoro method. And he'll see me in there cranking away. And he was like, well, you're not using the Pomodoro method. And I'm like, no. So don't cram everything in so close together. Your day is back to back to back to back to back to back nonstop. Did you eat today? No. No time for a phone call? No. Did you sit down? No. You got no time because your day is squeezed everything until you just get home and you can do nothing but pass out. Try to operate and when you give yourself brain breaks. Like I'm going to take, it ain't going to hurt nobody. If you give yourself 5 to 10 minutes to just sit and be still, it ain't going to hurt nobody. Your clients ain't going to be mad. You ain't going to miss nothing. 5 to 10 minutes. So you worked for 45 minutes. I know some of y'all not going to do that. You're going to work for 2 hours. But even if you work for 2 hours, take 10 minutes to give yourself a brain break. Do your best. Learn how to turn that stuff off at night. You all night, all in your dreams. In the morning, you still own it. You have to learn how to do that. So declutter your mind. Pray throughout the day. Give yourself a brain break. And there's more of these, but we don't have time to get to all of them. So I'm going to do one last one. And that is spiritual rest. It's not what you think. The author said this, and I fought with her on it. And I told the group, I said, I don't know about that. I don't know about that. She said, not resting strips you of everything holy. I said, wait a minute, Sandra. Now you're talking about me and Jesus now, Sandra. Not resting, it strips you of everything holy. Me being set aside for him. My life being dedicated to him? How can me not resting strip me of everything holy? And it's because we are so preoccupied that we don't have time to be holy. We don't have time to pray or worship. I don't have time to enter into his rest. Some of it is I won't give myself a break for that. And so in all of my running around and all of my getting and all of my don't stop, won't stop. Now, because it takes time to be holy. It takes time to be anointed. And because I'm so preoccupied with every other thing, now I'm being stripped of what was making me holy and anointed. And you're wondering why you can't operate the way you used to operate. And why is my prayer life seems to be slipping? And for those of you who preach, my preaching is falling apart. And for you singers, I'm just not singing well. I'm just not anointed up there anymore. And for some of you, even in your, it was just stripping me of everything that's holy. And I'm starting to feel awfully carnal and awfully like the world and awfully regular. Because I've had an invitation to enter into sacred rest, but I told Jesus I was too busy. To enter into spiritual rest, to stop for a moment, to read for a moment, to pray for a moment, to think for a moment. I'm too busy, Jesus. And then you wonder why I just feel like I can't get right. I'm not right anymore. I don't feel connected anymore. And I said, all right, Sandra, all right, all right. It will and it can strip you of everything holy. Some things affect us down to our souls. And we need spiritual rest for repair. You can lay in that room all you want. You're not going to feel better. You can talk to your friend over and over again. You're not going to feel better. It's going to come from spiritual restoration and spiritual rest. And so that's where it's coming from. The author describes a place and it's called the Valley of the Wounded. And when we get wounded in our souls, we're wounded in our spirit. For whatever happened, people did it, events did it, something that happened did it. But now we just drag around in the valley of the wounded. And the only way to come out of there is to get spiritual rest, spiritual restoration. And that valley of the wounded, thank y'all for that. Those people are in there protecting themselves. Licking their wounds. I'm not coming out because I don't want to be hurt again. They hurt me over there. They did this over there. And so I reside in the valley of the wounded. The only way you can come out of there is for spiritual rest and restoration. God heals soul wounds. And I can't say nobody didn't have any because sometimes we do. Sometimes that's a soul hurt. It wasn't just my feelings. That hurt me to my core, to my soul. But how are you going to get restored from that? You have to into a place of a spiritual rest. It is recognizing where you are wounded or empty. You might have to talk to someone who can help you with spiritual care. You know, I know some of y'all go to therapy. I got my own therapist. But in this case, if they're not spiritual, they can't help you in that. You need somebody that can get down and speak to your spirit to see, especially if you're a believer. You need to talk to someone, one of your leaders. And I'm not saying don't go to therapy, but you need to address it on a spiritual level also after you recognize where you have been wounded. And then you have to practice his presence. You got to find your way to get into his presence again. You need spiritual rest. It's a fill up spiritually. And you have to come into that place. Our pastor says this. She says, come more often and stay longer. Come more often into the presence of God and stay longer. Be there with him a little bit longer than what we have been. You all, rest is not what we think. There's an active rest for your physical care, for your mental health, for your spiritual health. And there's three more of them that we just don't have time to get into, but there's a social rest, there's an emotional rest, there's four more, sensory rest and a creative rest. At another time, we'll get into those. But for now, you have to know how to take care of yourself. What is Jesus talking about? When he invites you to come into this place of sacred rest with him, it's about abiding with him. It's about remaining in him. It's about trusting him with you. Your busyness is not going to do it. Your avoidance is not going to do it. It's not going to get you where you need to be. Some of you, that S, you got to rip it off your chest. Because it's going to drag you down. It's dragging down your physical health, your mental health, because of your refusal to rest. And so I'm not telling nobody, quit your job and go sit up at home and put your feet up. That's not the rest we're talking about. Tasha said, doggone it. I was looking for that kind of rest. Now, some of y'all do need to take a nap. But for some of you, mind your mental health. Some of y'all like it in the valley of the wounded. You like dragging around in there. You like posting sad things. You like to say, I'm still in the struggle. You want people, that's your how you identify. But Jesus said, come on up out of there. And yoke yourself with me and not your struggle and not your sadness. Come on and walk with me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And so that's this sacred. Jesus gives sacred rest. And I know you're here because some of you are non-stop. You fall asleep at night. Just fall out. You don't prepare for bed. You ain't got time to prepare for bed. You're too tired to prepare for bed. That's one of the things that we learned, you all. You want a good night's sleep, prepare to go to sleep. Some of us, and I'm going to say us, we just crash out on that couch. And then it's about 1, 2 o'clock in the morning, you drag to bed. That's not sacred rest. Yeah, that's the pass out. He's saying prepare to get the rest. Prepare. We had a couple of people. They smiling over here. We had a couple of people, Andre and Tiffany. They prepare. They prepare for bed. They made the rest of us feel bad, y'all. You can go ahead, Mike. They made the rest of us feel bad, but they prepare for bed. The TV goes off. Prayer, pajamas, baths, lotions, music, all of that. And that's an every night routine, y'all, that they're preparing. While the rest of us is just out here crashing on the, got your clothes on. But Jesus, we want to enter into this sacred rest. And so I just want to pray with us on this afternoon, you all. This book has been so enlightening for us. Because this author is showing us, well, what is Jesus talking about? I love that she's a Christian woman. I love that she gives us the natural, the science, and the spiritual part of what we're missing and what we're not getting. She tells us what's happening in our physical man, in our brains, in our emotions, in our bodies. But she also tells us what's happening in the spirit when we are missing out on this. There's an invitation. And I know a lot of us like to think that you're not a sinner, that I'm doing the right things. I'm doing my best to do the right thing. Do you know not resting, you're going against what God said? He said to keep your rest holy. And we laugh, but some of us ain't getting no holy rest. We ain't getting no intentional rest. It's just nighttime, so we go to bed. It's just time to get up, so we get up. But he said that he had done creating for the day, and he rested. When we get done creating, when we get done working, there ought to be a place of sacred rest that we enter into. There ought to be a time of mental rest. I'm going to intentionally obey what God told me to do and rest my mind and rest my body and rest my spirit. Y'all, we think we doing it. And God looks at us and said, I gave him how? Jesus says, I invited him in. But they still saying they too busy and it's too many things that they have to get done. You all, if we could enter into his rest, then it'd be easier for you to get it done. And so I'm going to invite us to stand all over the place as we say this prayer, as we say it all together. And I'm praying for those of you who need to say it. You need to renew your relationship with Jesus. And so let's say this all together. Lord Jesus, come into my life. I've made some mistakes. Jesus, I need your rest. Restore me. Keep me. I'll make you the Lord of my life. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen, and thank God. Amen. Now, if you know that you said that prayer today and you needed to say it, you rededicated or you said it for the first time, just raise your hand. I just want to acknowledge you. I want you to receive a book from those that are here. And the book just tells you about resting with Jesus, walking this out with him. And so if you're here, just raise your hand. We want to see you. If you rededicated today, we just want to see you in this place and thank God for you. Amen. You don't have to be shy. You don't have to be shy to do that. This is the best decision that you can make for your life. And so thank you all for that. Let me seal this. Father God, we just say thank you, oh God, on today for your people. We thank you for your word, oh God, that has come. We thank you for the invitation of rest. I thank you that you keep impressing upon us, oh God, to enter into this place of holy rest, oh God. And so speak to us again about it. Nudge us again about it. Put it on our hearts and minds again. And heal us, God, from where we have gotten it wrong. For when rest is not what we think, let us enter into your rest. And so we just thank you right now, Jesus, that you give us sacred rest. Amen, amen, and thank God, and thank God. I think that we are going to go into, we have some new members. We have some people who are our new members who have decided to join the church. They have graduated from our last class of Growth Track. And so Liz is coming now for us to introduce these individuals into the church. And we are so glad that they are here. And so we will call them by name. And if you're in the place, please come on up. And our first new member is Patrice Richmond. Come on up, Patrice. Patrice already connected to a community group and everything. We're glad that you are here. Stay up here for a moment, Patrice. Our next person is Kayla McNeil. Come on. Kayla's already joined a community group. She's in our young adult group. Thank you for being here, Miss Kayla. We are glad that you are here. Our next new member is Priscilla Marshall. Yes. Y'all, look what God is doing in the house. Look what God is doing in the house. And Priscilla has already found her community group. I hope y'all see the theme that's going on here. There's a theme that's happening here that the folks is already in a community group. Some of y'all been here for a long time. Y'all ain't no community group. The next person that is joining our ministry is Bree Pritchett. I don't see Bree today. Okay, she's not here today. Okay. And our next person is Oscar Pina. Woo! 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 Come on, Oscar. Oscar and his wife, Rosemary. And they have already joined a community group. Y'all, community is where connection goes on in here. That's where it's happening at. You can take those two. There's Oscar on the top and Rosemary on the bottom. Our next new member is Shanicia Cheney. Did Shanicia have to leave? Oh, she's over there. Oh, she has her. Come on up, Shanicia. Y'all better look at this graduating class. Yes, thank you for being here, Shanicia. And some of these people come with little people, too, so they not alone. They coming with family. They got their children here, too. Okay, and we did have one more, but I don't see Miss Donna. And so it's Donna Harris, but we'll get Miss Donna on next time. And then our next new member, come on, is Reverend Dr. Angela Edwards. Woo, 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 woo. Already in a community group, already in the Monday morning crew. Miss Angela be everywhere. That's what I'm talking about. You all, y'all come together just a little bit. They're going to get a picture of everybody. You all is eight, let me get out of them. You all is eight, take that picture, say welcome home. Welcome home, family. Welcome home. We are glad that you all are here. Thank you, thank you. And they all have connected to a group, but if you need anything, ask any of us and we got you. Thank you all. Y'all can go to your seats. Thank you for that. Y'all, come on. Look what God is doing in here in the house. Look what God is doing. In the house of Antioch. I do think that is all. Zay, are you? Oh, I thought Zay was throwing his hands up at me. I'm like, I don't know. I don't know what I need to do, Zay. I think the only other thing that we have is remember, is it too late to sign up for Kingdom Academy? You got one more week. This is your last week that you can sign up for Kingdom Academy. You all, that is our academy, our classes that we have here at the church. Fabulous classes. And so this time they're offering the altar of the battleground. Y'all see us up here every Sunday praying with the people. You want to know what's going on? You want to know how to do that? Jump in this class right now. Biblical study methods. How do you study this Bible? Sometimes it just seems overwhelming to study it, but our Pastor Darian knows how to break that down and give you an understanding of how to study that Bible. Also, the New Testament epistles. Is that you, Dr. O? Dr. O is teaching the New Testament. Come on and learn about what you're believing. I believe it's Pastor Tiffany Trask that is teaching the Old Testament. She's going to teach about those first five books of the Bible. Did y'all know about them? Come on and learn about them. Know what you are believing. And then our Leadership 2 class is taught by our very own senior pastor, Dr. Maida Parson. Y'all got one more week. You can register out front at the table. You all, it's only $60. I mean, $10 a week. Come on, that's your coffee. That's one coffee. That's half of your lunch at the burger place. That's only half of it. Come on and get that done. Yeah. And so I do think that is all of the announcements that we have. Oh, it's MIT tonight. Ministers in training is tonight. And you all, we do have our ministers. And so we have a service that'll be right here at 6 p.m. Y'all come back and give them a group. Give them a group to talk to preach at. You all, we're a training ministry. And so we have our ministers that don't necessarily have an opportunity to be up on Sundays, but they train on second Sunday nights. And so they'll be back here at 6 p.m. We got four ministers up and a pastor. Pastor Tiffany will be up. I think Minister Sean is going to be up. I'm not sure who else is going to be up. Monique left. Is Monique up tonight? I think she is. I think so is Jamila. But anyway, y'all come back at 6 o'clock for our ministers and training service. And I do believe that is all. Our pastor is coming now. Brandon, will you give her a wipe?
This amen for our co-pastor. Amen. Wonderful word. I needed that word. I'm tired. Amen. And so I'm going to rest on that. The only other things is we want to remind you that we are in our rally. We are in our rally. If you did not get an envelope, we are giving the year. We do this every year, but there are several tiers. If you all will put that up, you can be at tier 4. That's $255. You can be at tier 3, $506. Tier 2. 10,012, and tier 1 is what we're all going for, $2,024. I said, do what I do. I just ask God for it. I get an envelope, and sometime I might go somewhere, and I think I'm going to get a $200 offering, and they give me $500. I take that, and I put it in my envelope, just that money that comes from nowhere, and surprise, and Pastor, I forgot I owed you this. I don't know where it's going to come from. I just ask God for it. Ask God for it by faith. Get that envelope and say, yes, I will be a part of the rally. And we'll keep a tally as we go. Amen. And Pastor Sharona will be sharing that with you and your numbers. But if you did not get your rally envelope, this gets us through our summer. It helps us make our budget. It is so necessary. We need you to invest in your church. So if somebody did not get their rally envelope, just raise your hand. Raise your hand. We have some hands. Make sure that they get their rally envelope. Amen. Do it by faith. That's how I do it. I know you don't have it. Well, some of y'all have it. You can write the check right now. Let me not say that. But if you don't have it right now, do this by faith, and God will make it happen. For our I am on a tithing campaign. If we can get our tithers up to 100%, we wouldn't have to do rallies. And I'd rather you tithe, because as you tithe, you come into covenant with God. Tithing is just 10% of your income. God give you $100, you give him $10. And you do that consistently. Whatever your check is, move the decimal point, and that's what your tithing is. When you enter into this, what God is saying is, I'll make a deal with you. If you will invest 10% in my house, I will take care of your house. If you take care of my house with just this little bit, I tell y'all, this is generous Jesus. Jesus gives. Then I'll take care of your house and then some and then extra. If you'll invest in the kingdom and that other, those of us who have entered into this covenant, covenant is a contract with God in tithing. I did it when I was a little kid. When I made a dollar a week, I put 10 cents in an envelope and tithe. I've been tithing since I was a little kid. And I went through 12 years of college, didn't owe one dime, not one dime of college loan money. But me and God been in this covenant. I've never missed a mortgage payment. I have never missed a mortgage payment in my life. God and I are in this covenant with each other, but I've never missed my tithing in my life either. And so I'm going to encourage, we're going to have some videos, I'm going to have some things, because people got to hustle. How many of y'all have ever had a hustle? My daughter, you got to hustle, you got to have that hustle on the side. Tithing is my hustle. Tithing is my hustle. How many of y'all got to grind? Some of y'all are grinders. Y'all get on that job and y'all grind for that money. Well, giving is my grind. It works for me. I know it'll work for you. And so I'm going to do my commercials as well. And we're going to do some things in a month until we get this church to a 100% tithing church. That's our goal. But whatever God says, whatever God blesses, I guarantee you tithing is a blessing. So I'm just going to teach about it. Sometimes we just don't know, Rev. Sometimes they just don't know. I tell you, this tithe right here, tithing works, don't it, Rev? That covenant that you make with God. Are you going to go to hell if you don't do it? No. But it's a covenant I just want you to enter into. The only other thing is auditions. We are having auditions for our praise and worship team. Auditions are this week at 7 p.m. at our central campus. It's at, y'all doing it at 6? I thought y'all was going to rehearse for a minute. Okay. At 6 p.m. I'll try to get them there after y'all do. Y'all better sing good next Sunday, though. No, I'm just playing. At 6 p.m., meet them at the central campus at 6 p.m. for open auditions for our praise and worship team. We need more singers. Now, we do need you to be able to sing. And so that's why we're having auditions. You don't have to be the best singer. You just need to be able to hold your note, hold it tight, add to the team. We do auditions. However, if you used to sing, you've been singing, you know you got that gift. Don't work our folk to death when you could take a couple of these Sundays and help our praise and worship team. We're excited about what God is doing in our praise and worship team, and so we want to make sure you have that opportunity. You can see me if you don't know how to get over there. You can see me today. You can catch Tasha before she leaves and let them know that you're coming. You can tell Pastor on the way out and make sure we get your information. But you can really just show up for auditions, but we would like to know that you're coming. Amen. We are standing. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, we thank you for another day, another time, and another opportunity to serve you. God, take us to our various homes. Keep us safe. Keep us covered. Cover our families, God. Cover our finances. Cover our physical health. Cover our rest in the name of Jesus. God, we're asking you to give us a divine appointment with somebody that needs to say that prayer that we said today that invites you into their heart. God, we release divine appointments among us, God. We will meet somebody that wants to meet you. In the name of Jesus. And so, God, we thank you and we praise you in advance for what you are doing. In Jesus' name, amen. Love on somebody. Love on somebody and tell them to get some rest.